Om Shanti. Each everyone say Om Shanti. Om Shanti. It is said that God's praise is unlimited. And how it is described? How is it described? That you make all the oceans into ink, you know, change all the water of the oceans into ink, and all the earth into paper, and all the trees into a pen, and start writing God's praise. The ink will finish, the paper will get exhausted, the pens will also stop working because they will be, you know, used so much. But God's praise will never decrease. That is, there is no end to God's praise. And that is why God's praise is compared to an ocean. And we say ocean of knowledge, ocean of love, ocean of peace, ocean of happiness. Because an ocean really never dries up. A river may dry up, a pond may dry up, even a well may dry up, but an ocean is huge. It can never dry up. So God's praise is compared to an ocean or compared to the sun. Like the sun gives endless light and heat. It can never finish. So too the ocean can never dry up. So God's praise is limitless. But the question is, out of all the praise, which is the first praise? Which praise goes to the top as the first praise? Remover of sorrow. It's the first praise. Huh? Ocean of love. Okay. Anyone else? Any other suggestion? Huh? What? Ocean of peace is the first praise. Purifier. That's the first praise. Acha? Any other answer? Truth. God is the truth. That's the first phrase. Very good. Any other answer? Yes? Knowledge. Ocean of knowledge. It's the first phrase. Well, each one's... his mother, father, relationships. But praise. All are right, no one is wrong. But surely God's special praise, which is the highest, the topmost, according to me, well, it may be different for everyone. According to me, it is love. God is the ocean of love. They can't hear? You can't hear? Translation not coming? Which translation? Spanish? Louder. They want louder. Louder. Okay? Speak louder. So according to me, but yours may be different. You know, usually even this question is asked. We remember God in all relationships. But which relationship will you give a priority? which relationship will you give on the top? His mother, father, teacher, friend, beloved, Sadguru, child, so many relationships, all relationships. But which relationship you'll keep at the top? The first one. Father? Yes? Everybody says father? Anybody says? Huh?
Partner.
Companion. Okay. Well, again, each one has his own feeling, own experience. I remember, you know, once I told somebody that father is priority, and that person totally protested. I said, no, not father. I don't know what experience that one must have got from his father, her father. And she totally protested. She said, no, not father. Then I said, okay, friend? Yeah, friend, okay. So God, I like God as my friend. I don't like God as my mother and father. Maybe, I don't know what bad experience she must have got from her parents or whatever. So each one is different. Each one has his own priorities. But then what I think it is, God is the ocean of love. He gives and gives and gives love to everyone, irrespective of whatever type of soul that may be. So we give the example of mother, father. That is pure love from mother and father. So God is the ocean of love. And the topic today is experiencing God's fullness of love. You experience God's love? Those who think they have never experienced God's love, raise your hand. Anyone? No. All have experienced. Actually, the first and foremost step in experiencing God's love is the Murli. From the Murli, we can experience God's love so much. Try listening to the Murli with that consciousness. It's God's love coming to me. Sometimes Baba tells that I write to you a 4-page or 3-page love letter every day. So what is the Murli? It is love letter, letter of love. And how to show that, prove that love? Physically, well, you may show in different methods, different ways. But how to feel that, yes, God loves me so much? First of all, you will see in the Murlis, in each Murli, whichever Murli you pick up, whether it is Sakar Murli or whether it is Avyat Murli, in any Murli you pick up, there's definitely one point of self-respect which Baba gives, a title. Children, you must always think that you are so and so. You are a lighthouse. You are a holy swan. You are a world benefactor. You are Trikal Darshi, knower of 3 aspects of time. You are the Raj Rishi, the royal sage. You are this, you are that. And you'll always find one or the other, at least one. More, of course, you can find more. But at least one. God praises me with that point of self-respect for me. How Baba has respect for me, and that respect is shown in the form of that praise. So you may call it love, you may call it respect, because love and respect should actually go together. You cannot respect somebody without love. You cannot love somebody without giving respect to that one. If there's love but no respect, then maybe it is just a physical love. If there's respect, of course, but no love, then also it is very dry, you know, it's not love is filled with so much of strength. And if there is true love for God, I will definitely experience that strength. But then, to feel God's love, what consciousness you have to keep in your mind. From the Murli, you can feel it. So one very interesting point is how God gives us so many titles. And then when we ask ourselves, God loves us so much, do we love ourselves also that much? Do we have that self-respect? God has so much respect for us, love for us, and gives us so many titles. The Avyakta Murlis, the first line, Baba is, Bap Dada is looking at so and so and so and so and so and so children. So Bap Dada is meeting or looking at, you know, in Hindi, the verb comes at the end. Baba dash 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 bachon ko dekh rahe hai. So Baba is looking at them, is seeing or is meeting or is whatever. So that verb comes at the end. But in English, the verb comes at the beginning. Baba is looking at, you know. So Hindi is totally opposite English. So sometimes when the sentence is a long sentence, we have to wait for the verb, because then only we can complete the sentence in English. So very often when I translate, I have to write down all Baba is looking at such and such and such, such children. So I have to write down because it may be difficult to remember. And then as I'm writing, I feel so intoxicated. So intoxicated, and I can feel God's love for me. Therefore, Baba sometimes says that whenever you listen to the Murli, always think that God is speaking to you. That's why we say, what's the difference between prayers and meditation? Prayers means where you speak to God. And meditation is when God speaks to you. So the Murli is God speaking to me. And as I'm hearing the Murli, I can become so intoxicated. God is speaking to me. God is praising me. Sometimes, you know, we don't feel that love, because we don't have that self-respect. Lack of the feeling of love coming from God is because of lack of self-respect. And that's why when Baba says, you are world benefactor, I start questioning myself, am I that? I don't think I am. I don't think I am. When Baba says, you are master, almighty authority, sometimes we start doubting ourselves. Am I that? Am I Master Almighty Authority? I don't think so. I think I'm very weak. So it is because of lack of self-respect that we are not even able to experience God's love when He gives us so much praise. So if you really want to experience God's love, then go into each word of the Murli and go into the depth of that love coming from God, the praise He gives to the children. I'll give you a very small incident, you know. Avyakta Bap Dada used to meet individually, children. And there was one soul, you know, Baba used to come meet individually. So each one would come in front of Baba, take drishti from Baba, and Baba would give him some blessing. And then, Toli. Baba would speak words of blessings. So everyone's turn finished. Each one came, and it was up to 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was now time to finish, to wind up. But one soul did not come, and I used to sit next to Baba to translate, because Baba would speak in Hindi and I would translate. But that one soul did not come to meet Baba. So I told somebody, please go and look for that soul. Why hasn't he come to meet Baba? Anyway, he came. Somebody went to him and told him, Shilubhen is remembering you. Baba is remembering you. He'll come because Baba is leaving. So he came. And he sat down. And then he didn't take drishti. He put his head down. I told him, look up, look up. Take drishti from Baba. Baba is giving you drishti. Take drishti. And he looked up, again he looked down. He looked up, again he looked down. And then Baba smiled at him. Then Baba asked him, do you consider yourself to be Master Almighty Authority? He said, no. In front of Baba, he said, no. Just imagine, God blessing you and you're not ready to take that blessing. He said, no. But how Baba made him say yes? Then Baba asked him, okay, who are you? He didn't answer. Baba again started questioning. He said, yes, I'm a soul. That's what he said. I'm a soul. Baba said, you're a soul? Okay. Whose child are you? He said, Shiv Baba's child. Who is Shiv Baba? My father. Okay. Is Shiv Baba Almighty Authority? Said yes. And you are his child? Yes. So if your father is Almighty Authority, then who are you? Master Almighty Authority? And then he said yes. He said yes. So Baba made him say yes. Much more Baba said, but I'm making it short. So he had to say yes because Baba spoke in such a way that he had to say yes. And then Baba told him, yes, you are Master Almighty Authority. Now keep this in your consciousness all the time. But then he was feeling very guilty. I don't know what must have happened in his life or what he did. But he was not really excited. And then, you know what Baba told him? Baba said, the child is looking at his present. What he must have done in this life or maybe recently or whatever. The child is looking at his present, but the father is looking at his future. At his future. Because Baba is seeing the future of that child. And therefore, always consider yourself to be Master Almighty Authority. And you will overcome your weakness very easily. And Baba gave him such powerful drishti. You know, then he looked at Baba because Baba was praising him so much. And then he didn't put his head down because he got that strength. When Baba was blessing him. And then he looked up and took drishti and then Baba gave him the toli. And Baba said, don't forget this. Don't forget who you are. And really, so how Baba gave him that strength? Baba gave him that love first. Made him feel that he was not a weak soul. And he had to awaken himself. Now this is God's love. So that's what we hear in the Murlis. Although you may say that Baba spoke to him, but then whatever words Baba speaks, all the versions, they are for every soul. They're also for me, not just for him or for her. That's why you'll see in the Murlis nowadays, Abhyakt Murlis, we don't say it is said to so-and-so or so-and-so. The names are forgotten. Names are not mentioned. Maybe countries are mentioned. Baba spoke to America, Baba spoke to Australia, Baba spoke to so-and-so country. But individuals are also the individual meetings, but those names are not mentioned. Why? Because this is for everyone. This shows how much God loves us. Because Baba is seeing us with that outlook, with that vision. You know, even in Laukik life we see, a child may be very weak, he's not very intelligent. But if the mother tells him, you're very weak, you're very stupid, you're foolish, you're, you know, all that, what will happen? that child will never, never be able to become strong because he's being like bombarded with these thoughts, with these words. But even if he's not very intelligent, but the mother will tell him, no, you're very good, you're very good, you're very good, no? Will she tell him, no, you're very bad, you're very bad, you're very weak, you're very weak? No, you're very good, you can do it, you will do it. Now this is love. Although even she might know that yes, he's not able to do it, he will not be able to do it in the future also, but she will not tell him that you can't do it, you can't do it. And really it is not good to say like that to anyone. We have always to increase their self-respect. So increasing someone's self-respect is definitely a sign of great love and respect. So in every murli, God's love is experienced, can be experienced. And if we are able to experience God's love in this way through the murli, we will really feel so empowered. That's why Baba says you must not miss any murli. Sometimes we have many questions in the mind and you pick up any murli and there you get the answer. God is there ready to answer our queries, our questions, our doubts or whatever. This is also God's love. Usually we see in the little children, they ask so many questions to the parents. Mommy, why is this? Mommy, why is that? Mommy, what is he doing? You know, little children are very inquisitive. But if the mother has love for the child, then she will never ignore. What will she do? She will answer every question of his. Won't she? All of your mothers and fathers sitting here, most of you. So how do you treat your children? They are so inquisitive. And they have so many questions. But then we say that what we learn from our parents in our childhood, that can never be forgotten throughout the life. So Baba is our parent, mother and father. And that mother and father has so much love for the children. Then as a teacher also so much love. Baba says, I will continue to teach you till you have become completely soul conscious. So although it is the vision of the murlis, but then all these murlis which we are hearing, we may have heard several times before, but each time you hear the murli, you read the murli, you'll always find some or the other new point which you have never thought of before. And this is what we say, God's love for the children. Our queries are answered, our doubts are cleared. Everything is cleared and Baba teaches like a teacher, teaching us the knowledge of the three aspects of time, the Creator and His creation. Telling us again and again, children, remember me, remember me. No father will tell his child to remember him, but Shiv Baba does tell us again and again. Because this is the only thing which will come of use at the end. Nothing else will come of use at the end. Only this. And this is the first and the last lesson. The very beginning, Baba said, be soul conscious and remember me. This is the real remembrance. This is the real yoga. The true yoga means it is remembrance, being soul conscious and remembering the Father. And Baba said, I will continue telling you this till you really become that. This is God's patience, you know. When He wants a child to do something, He will continuously say to the child again and again, He will never get tired because He has so much love for the children. So Baba never gets tired or fed up that I'm telling this child to do and still he's not doing it. Let him go. Let him do what he wants. No. If I have love for someone, I will continue saying it. Or maybe if my words don't appeal him, my good wishes, my pure thoughts, my pure feelings, I will definitely share, come what may, whatever that one may do. But because of my love for that one, I will surely continue to give my good wishes all the time. And that's what Baba does to us, doesn't he? His good wishes for us children. And although Baba does say that each one is number wise, each one is number wise, we're all number wise, but God's love is not number wise. God gives everyone alike. The Murli is the same for everyone. Baba says, I don't give special tuitions to someone. Murli is the same. Classroom is the same. Even after completing your 1 week course, you come and join the Murli. Although maybe some extra lessons are given to understand the Murli better. But then you become the class student of the same class in which someone was 20 years in knowledge sitting, someone 30 years in knowledge, and still we all love the Murli. And the more we listen to the Murli, the more our love for God increases. So this is the mother father's love for the children. And he will keep on giving the children with a big heart. But then when Baba sees that children are a little bit naughty, little bit mischievous, and not studying well, not paying attention to whatever Baba says, not obedient sometimes, then Baba uses another way of loving the children. Because maybe the child is not listening properly. So which other way of Baba uses to give love to the children so that the children do what Baba says? Which is the second way? What do parents do if the child is not listening? Supposing the child is not studying, and the mother keeps saying, child, study well, study, child, study. But the child is not studying, not paying attention. So you know what mother does? The second way of showing her affection and love, she'll say, you know, if you come first in the class, I will get you a bicycle. I will get you this, I will get you that. You want it, no, but I will get it for you only if you study well and you get good marks and then, you know, whatever she wants them to do, she'll say, I will give you, but first you must study well. So she gives a temptation. Parents give temptation, or if I have love for somebody, I'll give a temptation. Yes, you are so good, but then if you do this, then I will give you. So this giving temptation, God, child, you'll become the master of the world. What a big temptation. Such a great temptation. You'll be the master of heaven. You'll be the conqueror of the world. You'll have so much wealth. You'll be so prosperous. You will get this, you'll get that. You know what? Whatever Baba talks about, golden age. So what is that? Somebody may say, well, I don't think so. Baba says, I don't know whether it will happen or not. You know, some may not have that faith. It's up to you to have faith or not faith. If you have the faith, then you can really feel God's love, because God is giving us that temptation. Some people, they don't like this temptation. You know what they say? They say, well, I don't think I want heaven. I don't think I want heaven. And what they say after that? They say, Baba says you'll get heaven, you'll get this, you'll get that. Even this is greed, no? I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Now, what will you call that? I don't want anything. Some people who are so unhappy with this world, they say, no, I just don't want to live in this world. I want to die. I don't want to come again in this cycle. That's why they talk about moksha. They talk about liberation from life, and that they don't want to come in this world. So they say that when you say we will get heaven, we'll get this, we'll get that, this also is greed. I don't want it, so I have no greed. I don't want any type of happiness. That's what sannyasis say, you know, Baba said in today's Murli too. They say we want to go and merge in the Brahma element, just Brahma and Brahma and Brahma. And Baba says Brahma is your home. What is there to remember your home? You have to remember someone who's in the home. Because the element will not give you love. You know, we say there's a family and you're living in a house, but when does that house become a home? The difference between house and home, no? House is just four walls. But home is where you get love, where you get respect, where there is mutual sharing, caring. That's home. Where there is respect for all, that is home. Otherwise it's just four walls. That's a house. It's not a home. So just remembering the Brahma element means it's just a house. Because that's from where I have come. But home means God, my father is in that home. And I'm getting the love of that father. I'll be so close to my father in the soul world. So remember your father in the soul world. Remember you are also the member of that God's family in the soul world. And you think of yourself to be very close to Baba. In Paramdham, where will your place be? Far away from Shiv Baba or close to Shiv Baba? What would you like? Very close or far? When somebody sits very far, it means he's not really interested. But if he's close, it means there is love for the study. There's love for Baba, love for Baba's knowledge. So when somebody says, that's why, you know, Dadi Janki, she doesn't like anyone sitting so far. Come closer. Because the more closer you come, the more nearness, the closeness, the feelings, the love you can experience. So if you want to really experience love in soul world also, you can feel yourself so close to God. God is form of light, I am also light, so close. And even here, in this world too, I'm so close to God. That feeling should be there, that feeling of love coming. You don't have to ask, you know, on the path of devotion, we have been asking for love. We have been asking for mercy, asking all the time. Asking for things, asking for virtues, asking even for confessing. If we have done something wrong, we confess and we ask for forgiveness. So it's always asking. And here Baba says, you don't have to ask at all. I give you on my own. A little child, it will not say, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I want food, I want milk, whatever. But the mother knows that she has to feed the child because of her love for the child. So he doesn't, the child does, it doesn't mean the mother will feed the child only when he cries. Should he cry to ask for food? Or should the mother give him before even he cries? She should give him before. And that's the love of the mother for the child. Some mothers think they forget to feed the child. And when the child is crying, I need to feed the child. They forget. But God is our mother. How He feeds us. How He tempts us. How Baba gives us that wonderful temptation of what we are going to become. So it's not dry. This knowledge is not dry. On the path of devotion, you are given a mantra. Okay, now chant this mantra. Or maybe a prayer. Okay, say this prayer and finish. You know, they have a joke on this. There's an interesting story on this. That in a church, they were praying. And there was a small child too. But now he was also muttering something, you know. Uttering something. His lips were moving. But everybody else was praying. So this child was also praying. But he didn't know what they are saying. So the priest saw the child that he's saying something. And the priest asked the child, what were you saying? You were praying. Were you praying? What were you praying? What were you saying? He said, I was saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, N, O, P. You know, all the alphabets. And the priest said, no, that's not prayers. You must say this. But the child was very intelligent. He said, whatever words you say, they're all part of this alphabet, no? Now let God decide how to add, how to make them into words, because I know only this. So that's what it is. And then the other stories also about, you know, there was a shepherd, a child shepherd. The father was a shepherd, but then the child used to take the cows and the sheep for grazing. But then he used to, you know, Just speak to God. Anything that would come in his mind, he would speak to God. Anything. Anything he would say. So one day he came across a priest. And the priest asked him, "What are you saying?" He said, "I'm talking to God." "What are you talking to God?" Then he said, I just love to talk to God. I say everything, whatever is in my mind, I tell God." Then the priest said, no, this is not the way to talk to God." Then he made him learn, recite some mantras. And he told him, "Now chant this mantra. This is what you have to say to God." And he took him maybe an hour to memorize that mantra, you know, that one phrase. And then after that he started saying that only. But then one day God appeared in front of him, and then God said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, this is what I was taught." He said, no, I love you in the way you were talking to me. Not this mantra or not this by heart prayer. Because it was not from the heart, it was just from the head. And therefore Baba says, love is not from the head, love is from the heart, and that is what God wants from us. In Hindi there is a very beautiful saying, Bhagwan bhavna ka bhukha hai. The feelings, he is hungry for the feelings which come from our hearts. Bhavna ka bhukha hai aur prem ka pyasa hai. God is hungry for our feelings and God is thirsty for our love. Just imagine. That's the way, that's the saying. So hungry and thirsty. God doesn't feel hungry or thirsty. But love, and love from the heart and feelings from the heart, that is what God is hungry and thirsty for. So I have to ask myself, God is giving me so much love, but how am I accepting that love? Is it just in the head? Some people think, take it just in the head. I can't experience God's love. I can't experience God's love. But they don't open their heart for that. And Baba says, God's love is not in the head, it's in the heart. Baba sometimes says that when you speak to somebody, Baba's knowledge, it should not be from the head. Because any arrow shot from the head will hit the head and then go out from the head. But if it is shot from the heart, then it will shoot the heart and it will pierce the heart, and that will make him die, you know, die alive. That will make him come closer to God. So God doesn't want your head. God wants only your heart. And this is, we say, God's love. So God does tempt us, but this also is a sign of love. Definitely it's a sign of love. But then when God sees that even this love, this temptation, these two children are not really very happy with, they don't want, then God uses the third method. Like Baba said in today's Murli, "I have come to take you children back home. This is my biggest aim. Why have I come into this world? I have come to take you back home. You were so pure in the soul world, and now you have become impure. And now I have to take you back home, but you cannot come home in this impure form. You have to become pure. In order to become pure, you have to remember me, because I am the purest of all. Whomever you remember, you are colored in that one's company. And therefore remember me. And if you won't remember me, then you will be punished for your sins. Because you cannot go back without becoming pure." So either it is yoga power or it is punishment power. Either of the two powers through which you will become pure. This is the purest form, the loveliest form, the most loveful form of finishing our sinful actions, by remembering the Father, by becoming soul conscious and remembering the Father. But if we won't become pure in this way, then the last option is punishment. Now this also is a sign of love. It's also a sign of love, punishment. You know, many, many children, what they say when Baba talks about Dharam Raj, you will be punished for your sins and all this, you know. And you will not get a high status if you are, the more you are punished, the less the status for you and so on. So, you know, some children, what they say, why is Baba frightening us? Is Baba frightening you? If Baba says you will be punished, is it a frightening? Is it a threatening? You know, some people take it that way. God is threatening us, you know, like you threaten somebody. If you don't this, then see what I'll do to you. Is God threatening us or frightening us? If Baba says you will be punished for your sins, Dharamraj will punish you. What is that? Is it love or is it a threat? It's definitely love. It is not threatening. Because God knows that it is good for us. And we give a very good example. It's a very interesting example. In the morning, the small child and the mother bathes the child, gives food and very good clothes, and then the mother says to the child, now go and play. So the child goes and plays. Now supposing the child is playing whole day, but whilst playing, the clothes get dirty, you know, somebody beats him, then there's also some injury, whatever. But still he wants to play. Now it becomes evening and he's still playing. No food, he must be tired, but then the child wants to play. So the mother comes down and tells the child, child, you have played enough. Now come back home. Now what does the child do? The child is interested in playing because has played and played and played. He doesn't want to go home. So first the mother will say very sweetly, very lovingly, child, come on. Now it's getting dark. You need to come home. You cannot keep playing whole night. You have to come home. See, you come home and then you will get whatever you want. Now you have to come home. So with love she will tell him. But if the child doesn't come, doesn't obey, then the mother will tempt the child. See, you know, I made such good things for you to eat. I've got such good clothes for you to wear. I will give you this, I'll give you that. Come home, child, come home. But still the child doesn't want to go. Now what's the third option? So first is just love. Child, come on, you're so sweet, you're so good, you're so great, you know. But still the child doesn't come, then again she'll tempt him. But if still he doesn't come, then? What will she do? She'll pull his ears. And so what will she do? She has love for the child, no? But she will definitely scold the child and tell the child, child, see, you have to come home. If you won't come home, I'll pull you and take you back home. You have to come home. But the child doesn't want to come home. So what does the mother do? She pulls the child. Forcibly also, she pulls the child and he's so dirty. Now how can she take a dirty child and make him sit on the table to eat or sleep on his bed? So what will she do? She will take the child to the washroom, to the bathroom, and forcibly make the child take a bath and then become clean. But he'll start crying because he doesn't want to take a shower, he doesn't want to bathe, he wants to play. So the mother wants him to become clean. So she'll forcibly make him clean and he's crying and crying and crying. Now this is the punishment. He's crying. You know, in punishment you cry, no? Now he's crying and crying, but the mother is happy. Why is the mother happy? Because he's becoming clean. So Dharamraj is like, punishment is like cleaning, no? It's a cleaning process. But it's not that God is frightening the child or threatening the souls. No, this is God's love. Because if we won't become pure, how can we return home? We can't return home. We have come in that pure state from home. And now we have to return home in that pure state. So we can return home in that pure state only the two methods, either through remembrance, through God's love, through knowledge, through yoga, through dharana, through seva, all the four subjects Baba teaches us, or through punishment. But then if there is punishment, then no achievement, no? You can't have punishment and also a good status. Punishment means your status is lowered. Somebody may have a very high status, but if he does something wrong and he gets some punishment for that, maybe he's suspended for a while, but after he comes back to duty, it will never be the same duty. It will be a lower duty, no? Is it not? Because he did something wrong which he should not have done, and then he's suspended, for example, for some time. But then he joins duty again, but it will never be the same. If he will be demoted, not promoted. But when will there be promotion? When whatever duty he has been given, he puts his whole head and heart in that and works accordingly. He is a very obedient one, hard-working person. So naturally he will be promoted. So this is what Baba tells us. But all that is part of love. Everything what God does is part of love for his children. So never, never think that, oh, God hates us or God gives us sorrow, like Baba said in today's Murli. People say God loves us, but he also hates us. He gives us happiness as well as sorrow. God will never give sorrow. Why do we experience sorrow? It is not that God gave us sorrow. Like a child is born, and then after some years the child dies. Now when the child is born, we say, God gave the child. He's so happy. God, you're so great. You're so this. You gave a child to me. But then after a few years, the child dies. Then we start cursing God. God, you took away my child. You gave so much sorrow to me. But God says, it's not me. Why did you get sorrow? Why did you become so unhappy? Because of attachment. It is attachment which gives sorrow. It is greed which gives sorrow. It is anger which gives sorrow. It is ego which gives sorrow. It's not God giving sorrow. I become so attached that I just don't want to part with it. And then I get sorrow. But then we curse God. God, you give sorrow. And this is why Baba says, attachment, all these vices are the cause of sorrow. And why do these vices come? Because of body consciousness. And therefore, if you really want to experience peace and happiness in life, then be soul conscious. So who gave sorrow? Ravan, Maya. Maya gave sorrow. That is why people say God gives everything, happiness and sorrow. Or sometimes what they say, that all this is all Maya. Everything in this world is Maya. That's what the sannyasis say. A woman is Maya. That is why they leave home. They leave the wife and go and become a recluse or go and live in an ashram. Many do. They do it. They just don't want a family life. And they don't want to see a woman's face also. Because if they see a woman's face, then maybe the feelings of lust or sex or whatever may come. So they don't want to see a woman's face. But then Baba says, no, this is not Maya. Some say wealth is Maya. Therefore we don't want wealth. They renounce everything. Baba says, no, wealth is not Maya. Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, she's worshipped. You mean is Maya worshipped? So wealth is not Maya. But what is Maya? The greed for wealth. Greed. More and more and more and more. How much do we need? Baba says you should feel contented within. Baba has given us so much, everything. We don't need more. There are so many in the world who don't even have as much as we have. So why should we think of getting more? This is also love for humanity. I don't need more. And nowadays, the poverty is growing everywhere in the world. So everyone is saying, save food, because if you know, time may come when we may not be able to get this food also. Therefore we have to save water. Water, everything is becoming very precious. So Baba is saying that we have to save. But then for that Baba also says that how much we need, we don't need much. So wealth is not Maya, but the greed for wealth is Maya. Children are not Maya. You know, some say children, Maya. I don't want attachment, but it's attachment is Maya, but children are not Maya. They are so sweet. They are so innocent. You love a flower too. Why can't you love a child? So it's not Maya, but attachment towards child. So greed, attachment, that's Maya. And some say woman is Maya, you know. A woman is Maya. Baba says, no, a woman is a Shakti. A woman is like a pivotal point. When she rises in herself, in her true self, the spiritual self, the world becomes heaven. But when she falls, she degrades in her actions, then the world also falls. You know, like a pivotal point, if it rises, everything rises. If it falls, everything falls. So therefore Baba says, don't see her as Maya, but see her as a Shakti. And that is why Baba has put the sisters at the front in this organization. Why has Baba put the sisters in the front? Because the sisters, the women, have been downtrodden. They have been considered Maya, especially we say in the man-dominated world. But how, when Shiv Baba came 83 years ago, and how he made the sisters come in the front, then the whole world put the women in the front. And now we talk about women empowerment, no? So when women come up spiritually, the whole world is empowered. The whole world becomes a golden age. And in Satyug we say Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi always before Narayan. Sita before Ram, Radhe before Krishna. Because God puts the mothers, the sisters in the front. But then again, to go even higher than that, Baba says, see everyone as a soul. If you want to see in the body too, then see each one as brother and sister, children of Brahma. See as a soul, then you see them all brothers. Why we say brothers? Some say, why not sister, sister? Why brother, brother? You know, people ask many questions. Why do we say soul, brother, brother? Why not sister, sister? Why not sister, sister? Can't a soul be called sister? Why is it to be called a brother? Brother means strength. Brother means right. You know, before, I don't know, now it's different, but before, if a parents had three boys and one girl, the male members, the children, only the male children would get inheritance. Female children never got inheritance, never. Because the parents would say, she has to go to another home. She has to be married and she has to go to another home and she becomes a half partner of her husband. So her husband should give her. The parents give dowry, that's all. But then to get the rest, she must get from her husband. But even the husband doesn't give. The husband will give to the sons, not to the wife. And poor wife, she doesn't get anything. Neither from her parents nor from her husband, you know. It's like that. So that means so much the woman had to suffer. But then she could not say a word. She could not utter anything in the society because man dominated society. In every religion, any religion you think about, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, any religion, women hardly got any spiritual strength to even say a word. No? But then when Baba came, he uplifted the mothers. And he says, uplift the woman means not woman everything, but see everyone as a soul. Yes, physically a man is more powerful than a woman, physically. You know, you say if you think about the genes, chromosomes, you know, in science we say male has XY chromosomes and female has double X, 2X chromosomes. That Y chromosome is very strong than the X chromosome. So woman physically is weaker than a male. It's true, no doubt. And if a woman tries to become like a man, she will fail physically. But spiritually, she can be very strong. But if spiritually she is degraded, then the whole world gets degraded. They say for a woman that if you teach a girl, you teach a whole family. If you teach a boy, you teach only one person. Because if you teach a mother, a woman, she'll be able to teach the whole family. But a male member, he'll be only for himself. You know, these are things in here. But what we understand is that the love which a mother can give, a father can give to the children, nobody else can give. So God is our mother, father. We are all His children. We get love from the parents. And that is why mother, father, very important. But today's world, we are seeing how low-key father and mother, who are supposed to be the true guardians of their children, even their vision is not so pure because of body consciousness. That is why I remember asking one sister that which relationship you like the most. She didn't want to hear the word father. Maybe because of abuse, who knows. But she didn't want to hear. This is Kali Yuga, you know, real Kali Yuga. And that is why Baba says, you have to purify your eyes. God has so much love for His children, but that love can be experienced if there is complete purity in me. Pure love is the love which God expects from the children. Pure love for everyone. You know, they say love for all is love for God. We say no. You can't go and love everyone. Somebody said, I love everyone except my neighbor. Except my neighbor. Why not your neighbor too? Why should you not love your neighbor? Somebody said, my dear brothers and sisters except one. Because his wife must be sitting there. So my dear brothers and sisters except one. So I asked him, why you said except one? He said, because one day I said all brothers and sisters, my wife got very angry with me. She said, why did you say, I'm not your sister. So you always say all brothers and sisters except one. But what does Baba say? Have that pure outlook for everyone. See each one as a soul. And Brahma's children, each one brother and sister. So the feelings become pure. And where there's purity, there you can experience pure love. And that is what Baba said in today's Murli also. Purity leads to love. So when I say love for humanity is love to God, love for God, we say no. Love for God is love for humanity. It's the big difference. You can't keep loving everyone in order to love God. God is love. So we say love all, then you will love God. But we say no, just love God. Experience God's love. And that love you can share with all. You don't have to love each and everyone to express their love for God. They all are God's creation. But just love God. And love will come for everyone. Like if you want to water a tree, you don't have to water every leaf. What do? You just water the roots. So if there's love for God, then you love everyone. And if you have that feeling that God is loving you, then you can share that God's love with all. You will never, never have any feeling of hatred for anyone, because even that one is God's child. And see God with that love. Therefore, Baba says, if somebody says God gives sorrow, Baba says this is a great defamation of God. God is omnipresent. It's a defamation of God. How is the defamation of God to say God is omnipresent? Because there's so much sorrow everywhere. So if God is everywhere, is God giving sorrow? People give sorrow to one another. Even things, objects, incidents, everything gives sorrow. You get sorrow from everywhere. So sorrow is in your own thinking, not God giving sorrow. But then why this concept of God is everywhere came? You know, from where did it come? Beginning of Copper Age, this concept of God being omnipresent was not there. But they wanted to express their love for God. And this is what made them feel that God is everywhere. They used to get visions of their personal deity, like Mirabai. She used to get visions of Krishna. When the moment she would say Krishna, Krishna would appear in front of her. Sri Krishna would appear in front of her. The gopis and gopis used to see Krishna everywhere. That's what they show in the scriptures. So because they had love, they used to see Krishna everywhere. So actually, omnipresence is a concept which came because they had love for God. Before they worshipped just one Shiva, the Shivling, as Baba says. But then, to express their love for God, they said God is everywhere. Because they got visions, they felt that God's love everywhere. But then later on, how there was fear. And because of fear, this omnipresence came into existence. The ancient sages knew that if we say that God is everywhere, people will be afraid to commit any sinful actions. Don't commit sinful action. God is watching you. God is watching you. God is watching you because He's everywhere. But what Baba says, I don't have to be everywhere and watch everyone to do what he's doing. Because each one will get the return of his karma. I don't have to be there to watch and then give punishment. No. And therefore, I don't have to be there physically. But then spiritually, we always say, don't we? God is with me. Baba is with me. Baba is with me. I'm not alone. You go somewhere alone and somebody will tell you, are you going alone? You say, no, Baba is with me. What do you say? Mothers, what do you say? You say Baba is with me or no? That means God is omnipresent, no? Is He not omnipresent? Yes or no? No. Yes or no? He's with us. He's with us. So it's omnipresent. But then this omnipresence is a very beautiful feeling, no doubt. Because Baba is in my eyes, so whatever is in my eyes, I'll see everywhere. Baba is in my heart, so it is in every vein of my body, it is in every particle of my body, because the blood from the heart goes all over the body. Therefore, people say God is in the heart, God is in the eyes, God is in every cell of the body. So these are very good feelings. But then we also know that we have come from God and we have to go back to God. We have come from our home, we have to return to that home. And now Baba has come to take us back home. So always experience God's love and the hand of God's protection above your head. Baba today said, hand and company. The company of God and the Srimat of His hand on my head, and always in His company, hand in hand. Those, if they love, then they catch hands. So, Baba is with me, Baba is above me, Baba in front of me, Baba behind me. Can you feel that? Baba above you, He's blessing you. Baba on your sides, He is your companion. Companion, always along with you, not alone. Baba in front of you, He's your guide. guiding you. Baba behind you, what is he? Your guard. Guarding you, protecting you, because the guard is always behind. He's protecting. A guide is always in front, and the companion is always on the side, and the bestower is always above. So if I think in this way, I can feel God's love at every moment, every step, in every breath. Okay? So the experiencing the fullness of God's love. So today, who are first timers sitting here? Yesterday there were many who came for ring ceremony. About 20, 25, huh? Okay, Russians. Some Russians. Okay. So this evening you all be going down. Of course we will revise the Avyakt Murli. This is the Murli which you will revise today's of 2007. Very sweet Murli, very special Murli. We will revise, but then when you watch on the video, you will feel as if Baba's love is coming through his eyes. Bap Dada in the body of Gulzar Dadi. And all the time that smiling face is God's love being showered upon me. Think in this way. God is speaking to me. So, and if you think in this way, immediately you will feel so much strength coming from that love. Okay? Om Shanti. Yes, do you have any question? Anybody saying something? Somebody was saying something. No? Okay, let's finish.